Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, not surprisingly, Michael Cutler. It is Friday. It is June the 17th, 2016. Father's Day coming up this weekend. So for all of you dads out there, happy Father's Day. Hope you find a great way to celebrate it. I'm certainly looking forward to getting together with all of my kids, and we expect to have a great time this weekend. And after all, that's what it's all about. Our children, our children's children, living our share of what we hope is a decent, productive life in this crazy, turbulent country located in a very crazy world. Those of you familiar with my program know that I am a retired senior special agent of the former Immigration and Naturalization Service, and that ever since the attacks of 9/11, which could not have been carried out had the immigration system not failed and failed abysmally, I've been determined to provide my expertise, my perspectives that I acquired through my career that lasted some 30 years. I was an inspector at Kennedy International Airport for 4 years. I did the marriage interviews for a year as an adjudications officer, and I spent 26 years as a special agent. Half of those years, I was with the Drug Task Force. I was the first immigration agent assigned to the Unified Intelligence Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration. I've arrested terrorists. I've arrested murderers. I've arrested child molesters. And yes, I've arrested people who were simply working illegally in the United States. And I also conducted investigations into people who lied, and by lying, were able to become resident aliens, perhaps acquire lawful immigrant status, political asylum, even United States citizenship. It is an essential role of government to secure its borders against those who would do harm to the nation or its citizens. It is a vital role of our government to look out for the well-being of our citizens, and everybody, no matter where they live, are coming to the conclusion that this is something the government is not doing. So that's the purpose for my program. This is why I'm here, and I thank you for joining me. I'm going to talk about a couple of websites I'd like you to go visit, and then I want to get into the madness of the week. And there is never a shortage of madness for the week as we play that game of catch-up. You know, my own personal website is michaelcutler.net. One word, C-U-T-L-E-R is my last name, michaelcutler.net. For many years, I've been affiliated with a terrific organization out in Santa Barbara, California. I hope they are faring well with all the fires in that part of the country. Fires caused by drought, long-term drought, a problem exacerbated by the fact that there are so many people living in that region that they're running out of resources. They can't support the population. You know, it's funny, the liberal side of the argument talks about sustainability. There is nothing sustainable about bringing in more authorized foreign workers every month than the number of new jobs that we are creating. There is nothing sustainable about inundating our struggling school system with millions of foreign students who many times can't speak English, which, according to studies in the past done by the Congressional Budget Office, means that each foreign student who can't speak English costs 20 to 40% more to educate than their English-speaking counterpart. It's not sustainable that because of failures at border security, we are in the midst of the worst heroin epidemic, arguably in the history of the country, which leads to the destruction of so many lives, leads to a massive outflow of U.S. cash going to criminal and terrorist organizations, and the drugs linked with gangs are responsible for the great majority of violent crime that is being committed across the country. So, not sustainable, And here we have this terrible fire in Santa Barbara, California, along Route 101, the Pacific Coast Highway. Beautiful roadway. I've been on that road many times. So I hope all the folks out there in California are doing well this evening and that they're safe. Also, I am proud to be a columnist for a wonderful organization, the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and the publication that they sponsor is Front Page Magazine. By the way, I mentioned Californians and population stabilization. I think in getting into the issue of the fires, I neglected to tell you their website, and it's capsweb.org, C-A-P-S, capsweb.org. And they've been covering everything from the environmental impact of overpopulation, especially because of this human tsunami coming across our borders. They've also been addressing how it is hurting high-tech American workers, where they're being displaced by foreign workers and being forced to train their replacements if they want their severance packages. I mean, this is such an outrageous situation. And, you know, the Congress holds the obligatory hearings, and they all cluck and say, oh, isn't this terrible? Isn't this awful? And year after year, they hold the hearings, and year after year, they make the same noises. And year after year, Americans are losing their jobs. They're losing their thin grasp on the American dream, the middle class going the way of the dodo bird. And then the nitwits on these talk shows come on, and they scratch their collective heads, and the dandruff flies like a blizzard. And they say, gee, how come the economy isn't doing so well? I mean, we have record low unemployment. I don't know if these people are imbeciles. I don't know if they flunk the wiggle test. If you don't know what the wiggle test is, by the way, take notes. You may find this helpful. You stick your left finger in your left ear. You stick your right finger in your right ear. You wiggle your fingertips. If they touch, you flunk the test. How in the world does anybody buy into this insane notion that we have an unemployment rate of less than 5% when we are ignoring approximately 100 million working-age Americans who are no longer part of the labor force? What does that unemployment statistic mean? It's nuts. It's delusional. And yet these people who I presume are making really great money to sit in front of the cameras and scratch their heads are saying, this doesn't make sense. The unemployment rates are so low. The economy should be doing great. No, it shouldn't be doing great. It's happening because of the greed of the companies that are firing Americans and bringing in cheap replacements. And when the Labor Department issues their BS statistics, and I'm convinced that Bernie Madoff is cooking their books for them from his prison cell, they don't make distinctions in the jobs that are created. So a guy that's making $100,000 a year loses his job, but it's replaced by another job. So it's okay, except the other job is a part-time minimum wage job washing dishes in the back of a greasy spoon diner. But a job is a job is a job, so nobody notices that one job pays $100,000 a year and the other job pays $20,000 a year. Why is the economy in trouble? Can we figure this one out? It's remarkable. So I've been writing for Front Page. I've been writing for Caps Web. I've been writing for The Social Contract. In fact, my latest article for The Social Contract deals with the questions that we should be asking our politicians where immigration is concerned, the art of the question. Borrowing a phrase, if you will, from Donald Trump's Art of the Deal. Nobody asks the critical questions. Some guy runs for Congress, and some people in the audience jump up and they say, where are you on illegal immigration? And he says, I'm going to secure that border. And everybody goes crazy. They wet their pants. They jump up and down. And that's the end of the argument. If you think that supposedly securing the border is the solution, then you're probably new to my program or you're brain dead. Yes, we have to secure the U.S.-Mexican border. No argument. I don't want nasty emails. Don't call me up and say, what are you talking about, Mr. Cutler? You're out of your mind. No, we should secure the border. We have to secure the border. But if all we do is secure that border, and by the way, if you looked at the legislation that came out of the liars in Congress, they were talking about 90% operational control over the high traffic areas to be achieved over a period of 5 years. Can someone interpret that for me? Because I don't understand what that means. What's a high traffic area? What's 90% operational control? How will we know when we've attained that level? And what happens when the smugglers go 50 miles down the road, so it's no longer a high traffic area? Are we going to ignore them? The key to effective immigration law enforcement has nothing to do with the border. One of the worst things that we're doing with immigration is allowing the Border Patrol to dictate immigration policies, or at least we used to. Now, nobody's dictating any policies except the guy in the Oval Office with his mighty pen and his mighty phone, who's basically telling everybody to stand down. But immigration has always been seen through the perspective of the Border Patrol, and to say that this is myopic and dopey doesn't do it justice. In fact, there was a hearing held earlier this week by the Homeland Security Committee. And what were they looking at? The fact that last year it's believed that 580,000 or 480,000, well, ballpark figure, a half million. How's that? A half million illegal aliens who entered the United States, did not run our borders, but entered through ports of entry and then violated the terms of their admission. They either overstayed, they took jobs they weren't supposed to take. If they were foreign students, they failed to go to the schools for which they were admitted. So it's well over a half million when you add all the others beyond the visa overstays. What does the Border Patrol have to do with that? What in the world does the Border Patrol have to do with it? What does the Border Patrol have to do with the alien who lies about being married and gets a green card because of a bogus fraud marriage? That's not something the Border Patrol deals with. The Border Patrol is simply in the job of interdiction. The aliens come across the border, they're supposed to stop them, and they're supposed to stop them to force people to go through ports of entry where they can be vetted, where they can be screened, where they can be interviewed by inspectors working for Customs and Border Protection. That was the job I did at the beginning of my career. So we have over 20,000 Border Patrol agents, we have over 20,000 inspectors. Altogether, CBP, Customs and Border Protection, employs more than 60,000 employees. They are spending over $14 billion per year. And meanwhile, the number of ICE agents is unknown, classified. God forbid people should know the truth. But we do know that in 2013, the last year that they provided statistics, there were supposedly about 7,000 immigration agents for the whole country, and more than half of them were doing customs work. So now we're down to 3,000, let's say. And this year, the year of the political campaign, comes around every 4 years, you know the drill. Guess what? Secret Service does not have enough agents to protect not only the president and the vice president and visiting heads of state, but all the candidates and their families. So they dip into the till. And what's the till? DHS. When this is before the creation of DHS, when Secret Service was under Treasury, Treasury agents went out. That's people from IRS and Customs and ATF, and they protected the candidates. Now that Secret Service is under DHS, the Department of Homeland Surrender, as I've come to call it, that's where they get their agents from. So instead of arresting illegal aliens or working on various task forces, they yank the immigration agents off the street and they say, follow that car, okay? There's almost no one out there enforcing the immigration laws. And it's remarkable. I mean, Congress says, we need new laws. No, you don't. You need agents to enforce the laws that are on the books. You need money so they can do what they need to do. You need more judges. We have fewer than 300 immigration judges for the entire United States of America. Why is anyone surprised that the immigration system is crashing and burning? Imagine trying to figure out why your driver lost the car race. You put a car into the Grand Prix, and you say, go out there and win. And the guy doesn't win, and everyone says, what happened? And then you look at the car. It's got a blown engine, an empty gas tank, four flat tires, no brakes, and the steering wheel is missing. How come he lost the race? Is he a bad driver? No. You didn't give him the equipment that he needed to have in order to win the race, so he lost the race. Why do you think immigration is losing the race against the massive influx of foreign workers? Because it's doing exactly, precisely, 100% what the power structure of America wants, an unlimited supply of cheap, compliant labor that will make no demands for fringe benefits or 401k programs or health insurance or anything else. In point of fact, temporary workers aren't even covered by Obamacare, which, by the way, according to latest reports, the price will go up astronomically after the election, and there are still enough schmucks out there willing to vote for Hillary. My goodness gracious, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. If she was the only one running, I would have to sit home and not vote. I mean, you cannot vote for this woman. I mean, it's just that simple. She wants to go after immigration and in a way that would make Mr. Obama look like a tyrant on arresting everybody in sight. She's been complaining that he's been too tough on immigration. He's been zero on immigration. These statistics they come up with are cookbooks because they've blurred the distinction between arresting people and simply turning people around. But to be honest, that change in nomenclature, language to obfuscate the issue, I know he'd like to take credit for it, but George W. Bush gave us that beauty, along with DHS, when he cut immigration into multiple little components and made the entire immigration system utterly unworkable. George W. Bush, both sides of the aisle. Do you really think that the United States of America could not, if it really wanted to, enforce the immigration laws, at least to the point where it became a deterrent? Do you think the United States couldn't secure the border if it really wanted to, even as we just sent a space probe out past Pluto, traveling at, you know, I think the number was 40,000 miles an hour, 50,000 miles. I mean, think of the technology America possesses. Think of the will we have when we want to do something. See, my mom used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. When there's no will, there's no way. And there's no way that we are going to enforce those immigration laws, which is why I believe that the Republican establishment is having a cow over Donald Trump. Yeah, I mean, I wish Donald Trump would be a little bit more circumspect in the things he says. Sometimes he's a little bit too much of a blunt instrument. But he's a construction guy. He's a real estate guy. My dad, may he rest in peace, was a construction worker. He was a plumber. I grew up on job sites. Donald Trump sounds like the quintessential construction worker. There's a lot of black and white and little gray, and it's just the nature of the beast. This is what he's done his whole life. But he's right. Immigration is the issue, but it's a lot more than just the Mexican border. So they come up with this statistic that we have at least 5 million visa violators in the United States now, people who are admitted and failed to leave. And I've spoken about this before, and they've had hearings about this before. In fact, nearly 10 years ago, I testified at a hearing about visa violators closing the terrorist door. Almost a decade ago, or roughly a decade ago. So what's changed? Nothing, except the numbers have gotten bigger. That's what's changed. The threat to America has gotten greater. But if you hired 150,000 more Border Patrol agents, it would have absolutely no impact, zero impact, not a damn thing to do with people who commit fraud on their applications for immigration benefits. It would have zero impact on the people who come into the country and violate their immigration status, because their job is to secure the physical border of the United States. But every state is a border state because we have international airports and seaports. And yes, the Border Patrol, along with the Coast Guard, patrols part of our coastline, and we have 95,000 miles of coastline. But once people get past the Border Patrol or get past the inspector, they are virtually home free. And if we hire 200,000 more Border Patrol agents, that won't change anything. The real key, the actual way of fixing what's broken, is to hire lots more immigration agents for interior enforcement, make certain that they don't get involved with customs investigations, they don't get involved with the guy that cranks out counterfeit oil paintings and says he's Rembrandt. We don't go after people that are making counterfeit Gucci loafers, but people who are producing counterfeit passports, because that's the threat to national security. But now look at it. Do you think corporations want more immigration agents out there? Because one of the jobs that the immigration agents would have is to go after crooked employers who are exploiting foreign workers, either those working legally or those working illegally. Hire more agents, more employers are going to get caught. They may have to pay fines. God knows some of these bums will go to jail, as they certainly should. So they don't want more agents. And they've made it clear to the Congress they don't want more agents. So Congress passes laws, and they thump the podium, and they wave their fist, and they complain about this, and they complain about that. And Obama is usurping this, and Obama is overstepping that. And meanwhile, what are they doing to address the issue so that it really works? Bupkis. Because they are secretly throwing parties, I am sure of it, that we are in the mess that we are in. Look, let's look at the track record. Carter said we could not use the term illegal alien to describe illegal aliens. He insisted that agents not arrest illegal aliens during the census so they would be counted. So we had gerrymandering because the liberal cities wound up with more people being counted, he felt, which would mean that there would be a shifting of districts during reapportionment, which happens every 10 years when they do the census. So the liberal cities would get more representation, and the conservative rural areas would get less representation. And it wasn't only about seats in the House of Representatives. It was about votes in the Electoral College. It was gerrymandering. And then along comes Ronald Reagan, and I know a lot of conservatives love Reagan, and I have real problems with Reagan. And, you know, let's be blunt. You know, you solve problems when you identify the problem, which is why the term radical jihadist, radical Islamist, is so important. It's not a name game. It's about recognition of a problem. The first step in problem solving is to admit you have a problem. The second step, to identify the problem. The third step is to devise a strategy that addresses the problems you've identified. It starts with concepts. The whole point to Orwell in 1984 and Newspeak was that if you eliminate the words, you eliminate the thoughts. That's why the term radical jihadist, radical Islamist is so important. That's why the term alien is so important. Instead, we refer to cities that commit the felony of harboring and shielding, aiding, abetting, encouraging, and inducing aliens to enter the country illegally and remain here illegally thereafter. We call them sanctuary cities. Sanctuary is a place of peace, a place of safety and security and serenity. How do you have safety and serenity when you attract hundreds of thousands of aliens who evaded the vetting process at ports of entry for reasons known only to themselves? And then the other side, of course, accuses you of all sorts of things. Oh, you're a nativist, you're hateful, you're a hate monger. No, I just want to make sure that when we let somebody in, they don't want to kill us, they don't want to behead us, they don't want to blow us up. Boy, how nasty am I? The idea that Mike Cutler takes the position we shouldn't let criminals and terrorists into our country. It's not about race or religion, because every race, every religion, every ethnicity has the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's a statement of fact. This isn't rocket science, just the way it is. It's not about Latinos, which is another big lie. So we get lie after lie, and both parties are in on it. And you look at what's going on in the news, and you watch the hearing. And so at one point, one of the assistant directors at Department of Homeland Surrender was asked at the hearing, what are you doing? You know, they made, like, I think they made 2,000 arrests out of 5 million people. I mean, it was some ridiculous number. I'll come up with a statistic for you. And it was mind-boggling. And I wrote about this, by the way, in an article that's going to be published on Front Page Magazine. But they asked this guy, and hopefully it'll be published in the next couple of days, but they said to him, what in the world are you doing? You know, how in the world could you not arrest all these people? And here's the actual figure. Let me read this here from the Washington Times, in fact, because this is really telling. At least 480,000 people overstayed their visas last year, adding to a backlog that's reached some 5 million total, members of Congress said. But immigration agents launched investigations into just 10,000 of the 5 million, or about 0.2%, and arrested fewer than 2,000, less than 0.04%. Can you picture this now? 4/100ths of a percent. 4 hundredths of a percent, saying that the others don't rise to the level of being a priority target. Think about that. So we're doing nothing. And it's not Border Patrol agents who do this, it's ICE agents. Now let's not forget that Sara Saldana, the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, said that she had to redirect $113 million she'd been given to arrest illegal aliens, claiming she couldn't find any worth deporting. Even though hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens, murderers, rapists, drug dealers, gun runners, are out there, many of whom were released, they were in custody. We don't have the money. Now we have the money. We don't have the will to do it. So we're releasing criminals on the street, and they're killing more people. But here is what this guy, Craig Haley, the Assistant Director for National Security Investigations, there's a title, right? Assistant Director for National Security Investigations at U.S. Customs and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And here's what he said. He blamed the shortage of funding and a tricky environment. Are you kidding me? A tricky environment where authorities only have limited information and it takes them months to decide if someone really did overstay their visa. I just want to let those words sink in. This guy's job description is Assistant Director for National Security at ICE. And he says that it's a tricky environment with not enough money. They just returned $113 million. How many agents could they have hired for that money? And he said that the authorities have only limited information and takes them months to decide. Listen, I was an agent. I was out on the street for 26 bloody years. And if you go out there and you encounter an alien and you say to the guy, where are you from? And the guy says, I'm from Canada. I'm from Greece. I'm from Italy. I'm from Israel. I'm from Japan. Now understand what I'm saying to you. These are people coming in every single day at airports and refusing to leave, not going away. So if you encounter them and you say, where are you from? And the guy says, you got me. I'm from New Zealand. I'm from Canada. And by the way, Canada had quite a few of these visa violators. How hard is it to say to the guy, where's your passport? Under the law, you're supposed to carry the passport with you at all times. You should be subject to arrest, could be subject to arrest if you don't have it. And since we know when they entered, because we could look it up, and you know the guy had a tourist visa, well, tourist visas are only good for 6 months, and if you come under the visa waiver program, it's only good for 90 days. So you look the guy up, and the darn thing says, well, this is June, he came into the United States in October of last year, and you say, well, did you ever apply for an extension on the amount of time you had? The guy says no. So it is so tricky, because now you got to dig your handcuffs out of your pocket. That's how tricky it is to put the handcuffs on him and say, okay, you're coming with me. Now, this isn't theory. This isn't theory. I did this hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds, actually thousands of times in my 30-year career. I encountered people who were overstays, who were working without permission. You go into a factory and you say to some guy, hi, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Trinidad. Oh, great, Mr. Trinidad. How are you? Where's your passport? Well, I don't have it with me. Uh-huh. Do you have a green card? No. Well, what kind of visa did you come in on? I came under a tourist visa. Did you ever apply for permission to work? I don't remember. So you call the office. They run the guy's name through the computer. Guess what? It takes about 18 seconds. Bango, there's the answer on the screen. And they come back and they say, nope, the guy has no permission to work. You put handcuffs on him. That's how tricky it is. If you think doing this job is tricky, then you shouldn't be allowed to scrub the latrine in the federal building. What do you mean it's tricky? Because he's got his agent sitting at a desk, punching stuff into a computer and telling them, don't leave the office until you can determine when the guy really got here and whether or not he may have got permission to stay and whether or not he departed. You're going to accomplish nothing that way by design. By design. This is about impeding the investigation and the enforcement of our immigration laws on those who violate the laws. Tricky environment? Really? But you see, I wouldn't doubt that Mr. Healy came from Legacy Customs, because if he had started his career as an immigration agent, he wouldn't be calling this a tricky environment. Now, what's interesting is that there's a whole bunch of mid-level people at State Department that have sent a letter of complaint criticizing the president, saying we've had enough. We can't possibly defeat ISIS the way we're going. Takes a lot of brass, a lot of guts, real chutzpah, but the civil servants of America have had it up to their eyeballs. So for those conservatives out there who think the bad guys are the field agents or the low-level employees or the mid-level folks, no, no, no. They want to do the job. You know, I was on a radio show this morning. I told a kind of a humorous joke. I'll try it out here. It's a story about a Native American. Getting a little bit long on tooth, this guy is, and he's standing on a street corner in New Mexico, and he's wearing his Native garb, the traditional clothing as a Native American. And every time a real nice-looking girl walks by, he puts his hand up and says, "Chance, chance." Well, finally, some gorgeous blonde girl in high heels and a mini skirt comes up to him and says, "I thought you guys were supposed to say how." He says, "I know how. I just want chance." Those immigration agents want chance. They want the chance to do the job. And when you have a leader at headquarters involving national security saying it's tricky to do your job, why in the world does he still have a job? Why does Saldana have a job? Because they are doing the bidding of this insane administration. They returned $113 million while this guy says that there's a shortage of funding. Shortage of funding, but they returned $113 million. And we have people out on the street who are here illegally who are killing and raping and shooting and robbing and committing other serious violent crimes, selling narcotics to children. But there's a shortage of funding because they gave the money back. Does this make sense to anybody? Because it sure as hell doesn't make sense to me. And as a former agent, I sit here and I read this madness, and I'm going to be honest with you, you could have fried an egg on my forehead when I first read this. I'm still having a problem reading the words and not wanting to scream at the top of my lungs. Tricky environment. This is a first. This guy has huge balls. They are the size of cannonballs to go before Congress and talk about a lack of funding in a tricky environment. And this is a leader. This is a guy who's, you know, probably senior executive service, the equivalent of a general. Could you imagine a general standing up and saying, "Now the battlefield is a tricky environment"? Folks, it's taking my breath away. It's taking my breath away. The idea that they can do what they do and get away with this and nothing happens. And they asked him, "Well, how many agents are out there looking for these people?" He said, "Oh, we've got agents well over 100. Did you hear what I just said? Well over 100 agents looking for 5 million aliens who are violating their immigration status. Well over 100. When I was a kid, I used to watch Get Smart with Maxwell Smart, and there was this one episode where he and Agent 99, Barbara Feldon, were handcuffed together, or they were tied to chairs or whatever, and the agents from the opposite side, Chaos, are interrogating them, and Maxwell Smart, very funny guy, says, "Oh, help is on the way. You're going to be sorry because we have thousands of troops headed this way to free us." And they laugh at him. He says, "Well, we've actually got a whole division of whatever." And they continue to laugh. And he comes up with lower and lower and lower expectations. And finally, he looks to the camera and he says, "Would you believe, headed this way right now are 2 cops in a rowboat." That's what we've got, folks. 2 cops in a rowboat protecting America against terrorists. Barack Obama starts ranting and raving about keeping the guns out of the hands of terrorists. Americans ought to be ranting and raving about his failure to keep terrorists out of the United States, you see. And where are the Republicans? Where are the Republicans? How did they wind up funding this administration through the omnibus spending bill? What happened? Was that a mistake? Was it an oops? No, it wasn't an oops. Does anybody wonder why the American people are revolting? You know, my education was a magical mystery tour. I started as an engineering student for a semester or two. I switched over to political science, and then coming out of a hard science curriculum, realized that political science was an oxymoron. There's no science. It's all nonsense to me anyway, and there may be people out there that will take issue. But I didn't see it as a science. But I did learn quite a bit in a couple of classes that I took. There's something known as political legitimacy. Especially in a democratic republic, people need to look to the government and say, well, they're on our side. They've got our back. They've got our back. And that's political legitimacy. You go to sleep at night and you have the expectation that even when you disagree with the president, he has rational reasons for what he's doing. Even if you disagree with the mayor of your town, he or she has rational reasons for doing or not doing what they're doing, because they're looking out for us. We may have a disagreement on what the ideology should be, but they're looking out for us. Ladies and gentlemen, how the hell can anybody who's able to fog a mirror think that anyone is looking out for us when the administration releases from custody people they had their hands on, thousands, hundreds of thousands perhaps, of criminals who go on to commit more murder and more rape? But meanwhile, when you try to get on an airplane, they're about ready to combine the TSA with your annual physical. Does this make sense to anybody? You see, the problem that our government faces, increasingly, it is losing political legitimacy. And the only way governments survive when they lose political legitimacy is to become more and more authoritarian. And that's what I fear we're witnessing, with safe places in schools where you can't express your free ideas the way the First Amendment is supposed to guarantee it for us. Don't you say that. Don't you call that person an alien. That's hate speech. No, it's not. The term alien simply means any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. And that was the point to the article that I wrote for capsweb.org, that there's a world of difference between illegal aliens and lawful immigrants. But what has happened is the politicians, both parties, are trying to throw cold water on any conversation, any dissension. Don't you dare speak up. This is the thought police, you see, like 1984. It's Orwellian. It's not political correctness. Don't you dare have an independent thought in your head, because that's dangerous. Don't you dare disagree with global warming, because now you're going against the power structure. So we're going to impose a penalty. If you drink too much soda pop, you're going to pay a tax on sugary drinks. We're going to do all this to you to get everyone to engage in group think. It's almost like China, with everyone walking around with their little books in their pockets, Thoughts of Chairman Mao. Those of you too young to know it, look it up, Thoughts of Chairman Mao. So everybody intellectually marches lockstep. Everyone agrees with everyone. No one challenges what they're told. The art of the question. That was the reason for my article for The Social Contract. No one questions anything. No one says anything that's going to offend anybody. We're told what to think and how to articulate our thoughts. And God help you if you step out of line, because boy, oh boy, there's going to be consequences. Does that sound like a democracy to you? Now, I consider myself liberal on many issues. People say, Cutler, how can you possibly be a Democrat? Well, because Democrats used to be, when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, liberal. And liberal wasn't a dirty word. But you see, liberals aren't liberal at all. In my judgment, they're fascists. They're totalitarian. A liberal, truly, is somebody who is willing to listen to other people's perspectives even when they clash with their own perspectives. That's a liberal way of seeing the world. I have my opinion, you have yours, let's have a conversation. That's liberal. But when people say, shut the blank up or else, that's not liberal, totalitarian. And that's the direction we're headed in now. Don't you dare express those thoughts of yours, because you're going against public opinion here. And why do we care about public opinion polls? I wrote an article about that for Front Page Magazine. Those polls are as flawed as this government's labor statistics. But what's with the polls? Because people are told, supposedly, how the rest of America thinks. And people hate to be the odd man out. We are a nation of sheep. But I have a wonderful little paperweight on my desk, and it shows a sled being pulled by a team of huskies, and the saying on the paperweight reads, "Unless you're the lead dog, the view never changes." But most people are happy to look at the backside of that dog in front of them. So the polls tell us how the average American thinks, and how is it rigged? It's easy. Do one of those surveys and see what happens. What do you think is the biggest problem for America? Unemployment, terrorism, health care, immigration. So I put down terrorism and immigration. But as soon as I said terrorism, it locked the thing up so you couldn't put down any other choice. So how many people are going to say just immigration? Even though immigration is the major factor, where terrorism, where the economy, where health care, where public health are concerned, immigration is at the root of all of this. But as soon as you say terrorism, bingo, that's your choice. So what happens is, 3 days later, there's a news story. We surveyed 183,609 Americans, and 70% said they were most worried about unemployment or the economy, their jobs. Another 20% said they were fearful about terrorism. Another whatever percent said it was health care. And just 4% said immigration was an issue. Well, what have they just done? They told you, didn't they, that you're really the odd man or the odd woman out if you think immigration's a problem. And most people, you know, they go along to get along. You know, we're pack animals. Oh, well, how about that, Mabel? I thought immigration was a big deal. I guess no one else thinks so. So I was probably wrong. This is like that old show that they used to do, Family Feud. You know, survey says, and you're supposed to guess what the average schmo that participated in the survey had to say. That doesn't require intelligence. What does it require? I have no idea what it requires, but intelligence is not high on the list. It might be entertaining, but it's not entertaining when the surveys and polls are being concocted, not necessarily to report on the issues or the attitudes of Americans, but I have the sneaky suspicion, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but you got to wonder, if this isn't a subtle way of manipulating public opinion. And how important is immigration to all this? John Brennan testified yesterday before the Senate Intelligence Committee. And here's what John Brennan had to say. This is the director of the CIA. And he was an Obama appointee. And you know, I'm very much concerned that this guy came out with this statement because he knows the level of risk we're at, and he's covering his backside. So if the stuff really hits the fan, he could say, well, I went to that hearing and I warned you. That's the disquieting thought that ran through my mind as I watched the video. Fox News posted it. C-SPAN has this hearing up. You can watch it. I urge you to watch it. I urge you to tell your friends to watch it. But here is the critical paragraph from John Brennan's testimony. Since at least 2014, ISIL, and by the way, those of you familiar with the terminology, the Levant excludes Israel. It's like Israel doesn't exist. I call it ISIS, which is what it should be called. But he was speaking, not me. So these are Brennan's words. Don't blame me. Since at least 2014, ISIL has been working to build an apparatus to direct and inspire attacks against its foreign enemies, resulting in hundreds of casualties. The most prominent examples are the attacks in Paris and Brussels, which we assess were directed by ISIL's leadership. We judge that ISIL is training and attempting to deploy operatives for further attacks. ISIL has a large cadre of Western fighters who could potentially serve as operatives for attacks in the West, and the group is probably exploring a variety of means for infiltrating operatives into the West, including refugee flows, smuggling routes, and legitimate methods of travel. So travel for terrorists is their lifeblood almost as much as money. In fact, the 9/11 Commission had a staff consisting of federal agents and attorneys, and that staff wrote a report known as the 9/11 Commission Staff Report on Terrorist Travel, because the 9/11 Commission and its staff recognized that in order to carry out attacks, in order to engage in training and fundraising and plotting and planning, they had to frequently travel and cross international borders. And every time they crossed an international border, it exposed them to detection and the potential of being apprehended. So international travel is dangerous. It's a choke point, and we've done nothing to stop them from coming here. And when they talked about the visa overstays in 9/11, finally, members of Congress brought in the 9/11 Commission report. I've been saying for the longest time, why aren't we raising the issue of the 9/11 Commission report? They finally did. And this other yo-yo from the Department of Homeland Surrender said, oh, well, because of all the intelligence, we would probably be able to spot those terrorists now. Really? Like this piece of trash, this walking garbage can that shot up the club in Florida. Right. Is that the way they were going to track them? Sure. We could have caught those 19 because we're great now. Oops. What happened in Orlando? And you had a gun store saying to the FBI, hey, this guy is looking for level 3 body armor. That's military grade. He wanted to buy 1,000 rounds of ammo. And the FBI had interviewed him several times. And I'm not blaming the Bureau. They are overwhelmed. They are Lucy at the Bon Bon Factory on steroids. But these nitwits, these apologists for this utterly screwed up, dysfunctional administration go before Congress and make these ridiculous statements that couldn't hold an ounce of water. Oh, we probably would have identified the terrorists today given all of our capabilities. They couldn't identify the goddamn shooter in Orlando. Don't tell me what you could identify. And how well did it turn out in San Bernardino when the agents showed up at Citizenship and Immigration Services, a division of the Department of Homeland Surrender, because they thought that this guy Marquez, the alleged provider of the weapons to the shooters at that murder scene, that terrorist attack, was supposed to be interviewed with his wife because he was applying for her. It was a marriage fraud, by the way. And the agents were told, get the hell out of here. You don't belong here. You know, I was an adjudications officer. We worked hand in glove with the agents. So when I became an agent, I worked hand in glove with the adjudicators. Today, the agents show up and the adjudications managers treat them as though they're the enemy. Get out of this office. You have no business here. Can we see the file? No, you can't. We think this guy might be showing up. Great. We don't care. Leave. Well, can you give us anything? Yeah, here's a photo of a photo. Now we gave you something. Now beat it. Do you realize how insane this is? They wanted to find this guy. They thought that, number one, he committed criminal violations. Very significant. And this guy could take off and flee. But there's another issue that no one's talking about. Did anyone ever realize that maybe there were other people waiting in the wings to carry the banner into battle and kill more people in the coming days? How would you find out? Well, it starts with interrogating this dirtbag who allegedly provided the weapons. Those agents should have been treated to a cup of coffee and a nice comfortable chair to sit there and wait for the guy to show up. He never showed up, as it turned out. But instead, they were thrown out. You would have thought they were door-to-door salesmen selling used dog poop. Get out of my office. You don't belong here. And then at the hearing, the managers at the top of this rotted food chain, well, there was a mistake. There was miscommunication. What miscommunication? The guy didn't show you his badge? What miscommunication? See, in the old days, bad as they were, it wouldn't matter if the guy was wanted for murder or if the guy was eligible for sainthood. The fact that an agent needed to interview somebody because of a possible violation of law was all that was necessary, and we did whatever we had to do to accommodate the agent. Or when I became an agent, if I walked into that office, what do you need, Mr. Cutler? We're happy to provide it. Now they go in and they're treated like the enemy. Why? Because the goal of immigration now is to give away the store. Everybody and anybody who's here illegally gets moved to the front of the line. Legal aliens go to the middle of the line. And U.S. citizens behind the line out in the street where it's raining and snowing. You're not allowed in the building. You're an American citizen. That's what our government has turned into. And where are the Republicans? Issuing press releases, but they're funding it. They're funding it. They're giving Obama every last penny he wanted and probably more than he even did want. What do you want? Here it is. We're giving you the omnibus spending bill. We're going to continue to fund the sanctuary cities. Never mind that they may well create enclaves of terrorists. We'll just have an opportunity to get in front of the cameras when a bunch of Americans are killed, and we'll be able to say, look at that, the administration did it again. Why aren't we trying to stop it in advance? Why aren't we prosecuting mayors of sanctuary cities? Why aren't we locking up people in prisons who refuse to abide by detainers that are lodged by immigration agents? I lodge those detainers all the time, and they were always adhered to. You would never have a jail tell you, oh, yeah, we saw your detainer and decided we're not interested. This isn't a magazine subscription. This isn't a menu in a Chinese restaurant, and you decide you don't want the wonton soup. You drop that detainer, and the person was turned over to you. This is nuts. This is anarchy, and it's not victimless. And you have John Brennan warning that smugglers are bringing terrorists across international borders. They warned us about the whole problem with the visa waiver program. And so now we come back, finally, in the last few minutes, to this article that I wrote about the GAO revelation, our open door for terrorists, the deadly failures of the visa waiver program. There should be no visa waiver program. But here we find out that last year, 20 million nationals from other countries, aliens, I'm going to use the word, it's legally accurate, 20 million alien visitors to America were admitted under the visa waiver program. And we don't know whether or not they left because the visa waiver program had a component in it, and this goes back to the article about, or the report about this hearing, we don't have a tracking system in place, which is why it's so tricky. Because one of the stipulations for a country to participate in the visa waiver program is, number one, they couldn't have more than, I think it's a 4% visa refusal rate. When their citizens go to an American embassy or consulate and they say we want a visa, fewer than 4% could be turned down. Otherwise, the country's thrown off the list. That's easy to manipulate. Because all that happens is the ambassador at that embassy or the consular officials at that consulate or embassy tell those adjudications people, the consular officials who issue the visas, you will approve almost everything that lands on your desk or else. Why? To make sure they stay well above that minimum number. You know, we're not going to have problems issuing visas here. But what they can't fudge, what they can't manipulate, are the overstay rates. So in 1996, when they reformed the immigration laws, one of the requirements that they implement an arrival departure system known as U.S. Visit. 20 years ago, 1996. 2001, the terror attacks, the 9/11 Commission said, you've got to implement the system. Around 2004, $1 billion, I believe it was, as a down payment was given to Accenture, a spinoff of the Arthur Andersen computer firm or accounting firm of Enron notoriety. And they said, you got to implement the program. They were an offshore company headquartered in Hamilton, Bermuda. They've since moved to Ireland, doing national security work for the United States. Think about that. And they got all this money, and they implemented the arrival system, but not the departure system. So here we are now, 14 years, let's see, 2004, 12 years later, still no departure system. Accenture apparently is out of the picture from what I'm told. They changed the name from U.S. Visit to some biometric name. Still doesn't work. Why? Because if we knew whether or not aliens overstayed their visas, another component to the visa waiver program kicks in, and you might wind up dumping countries because if more than, I believe it's 4% of the citizens of a country on the list overstay their visas, then that country can no longer participate. So what do? Don't ask, don't tell. They make sure that the system doesn't work, even though it was a major factor in national security, according to no less than the 9/11 Commission, and we have no idea who's leaving the United States. Because the visa waiver program, the cash cow, if you will, for the campaigns, because the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, in its Discover America partnership, are pumping millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in bribes, I mean campaign contributions, into the coffers of candidates from both sides of the aisle to make certain that the visa waiver program keeps on expanding, which is why we went from 26 visa waiver countries on 9/11 to 38 visa waiver countries now, and more are in the waiting, the on-deck circle waiting to join. Even as Brennan said, they've got people in the West. What does that mean? This is Europe. European countries, you don't need a visa to come here. Why? We know what ISIS is planning to do. We've seen the stabbings in Europe and the shootings and the attacks. And anybody traveling on one of those European passports doesn't need a visa. And then, of course, I wrote about the enhancement that they said. Well, we've enhanced it. Yes, we now ask people that are entering under the visa waiver program from Europe if they've been to countries in the Middle East. Really? Do you think a terrorist is going to come in and say, oh, and by the way, I spent 8 months in Syria learning how to do beheadings, carjackings, and making bombs? And here's my transcript for good measure. I did real good in beheading. Does anyone think that these terrorists are going to tell anybody where they've been? But they call that an enhancement to secure our safety. Bull. Bull. You're being handed a parachute, and you have no idea if when you pull the ripcord, if you're going to look up and see a canopy overhead or someone's dirty laundry flying out of a bag. That's what they call security. It's Russian roulette with American lives. Russian roulette with American lives. And we've got 20 million people entering under a program, and it turns out that more than a third of the countries that participate in this visa waiver program have failed to cooperate with our government and in a timely fashion provide terrorist information to the U.S. government. You would think we would say to them, okay, you're off the list. No, they can't say that, because the U.S. Chamber of Commerce won't allow it. They're the ones that are doing border security for America, the United States Chamber of Commerce. I think maybe they're trying to drum up business for the funeral home industry, and it's a big industry in America. Maybe there's a shortage of bodies to bury in the cemeteries. So the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to make certain that they fulfill their quota of dead Americans. That's what it almost feels like to me. Is it an overstatement? You decide. You decide. But if you wonder why the average American has had it, this is why. And I still don't understand how Americans don't understand what's happening. I was having an argument the other day with somebody about Hillary. And he said, well, you know, a lot of people think it would be really neat to have a female president. And it really stopped me in my tracks. I said, do you think that someone that doesn't want Hillary is a misogynist? I said, here's my question. If, God forbid, you or a family member needed surgery, you had an emergency and you rush into the hospital, are you going to tell the people in the hospital, I want a woman doctor? Or are you going to say, I want the best doctor you have, the most competent, the most experienced? Does anyone have the ability to think? It's not whether or not Hillary is a woman. It's about whether or not she's competent. It's about whether or not she has integrity. It's about whether or not what she wants to do would be in our best interest. She believes in giving amnesty to every illegal alien in the United States, essentially, and bringing in more people. If we gave amnesty to what I believe is a population of 30 to 40 million illegal aliens, they'd all be able to bring in their families. You're talking about 100 million people, perhaps. This is madness, folks. Well, I want you to please go to my website, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, front page magazine, The Social Contract. I wish all you dads out there a very happy Father's Day. And please, folks, remember, democracy is not a spectator sport. I look forward to joining you again right here next week on the Michael Cutler Hour. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week.